Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Man, what a show we've had so far. This has been like jam-packed. Well, we're about to jam-pack it some more. So I'm about to bring on somebody that I've had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years. In fact, one of the greatest speeches that we had at the Etowah County Republican Gathering, which used to be one of the biggest dinners in North Alabama, was this guy right here. So Cliff Sims, I've known him for a number of years. He's the guy that started Yellowhammer News back in the day. He went on, though, to serve as a special assistant to President Trump in the White House. He also then, after serving in the White House, served as Deputy Director of National Intelligence, or served with the Deputy Director of National Intelligence. And he's now written a new book, his second book, I believe. And I'm going to bring him on right now to talk about it. Cliff Sims, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing great. A self-proclaimed right-side ruffian here calling in.
So you are indeed. We will give you the honorary title and the T-shirt to prove it. How about that?
I love it. It sounds good.
Well, hey, man, listen, there's a lot of stories you've got. You've had some pretty incredible, time just over the last few years, especially, or really the last 10 years. You wrote a new book, The Darkness Has Not Overcome, Lessons on Faith and Politics from Inside the Halls of Power. What prompted this? What's going on?
Well, I would kind of describe the book as basically a political junkie's dream devotional book. So if you want to know what it's like inside the government's doomsday bunker, or what's inside the president's nuclear football, or what it's like in the cabin of Air Force One, or inside the halls of the CIA, this book is chock full of the kind of in-the-room details that political junkies love. But every story launches into a biblical takeaway. And so these are lessons that could apply to anyone's life, whether you're walking through the fire or dealing with anxiety and depression, or just trying to make sense of the current moment in American political life through a biblical lens. That's what this book is all about. And so it really came from, as I left serving as deputy D&I, kind of wrestling with what that time period of my life meant for me, and journaling about it and thinking about it and realizing that a lot of the things that I learned through that process could apply to anyone's life. And so that's what that's how the book, The Darkness Has Not Overcome, came to be.
Well, so it's out this week, right? Brand spanking new, fresh off the press?
Yes, came out Tuesday. That's right.
That's good stuff. Well, I know you've been making the rounds talking about it. I'm glad to have you on this show. We got a huge audience that loves stuff like this. And by the way, if some of the stories you tell are like the ones you told on that speech I had you come do in Etowah County, by the way, you told a great story, and if you want to touch on it again, you're welcome to, but of being on Air Force One the first time, and you called your grandfather, and why that was so important to you from Air Force One.
Yeah, well, one of the first things I realized when you get on Air Force One is that every seat in the staff cabin has a phone beside it. And so you can, pick it up, and someone says, yes, Mr. Sims. So they're like, know what seat you're sitting at. And so you could just say, get me, whoever you want on the phone. And so it would be kind of funny because you call people and they think that you're, it's a prank call because they call and they say, hey, Mr. Williams, we have Air Force One for you. Will you take the call? And most people are like, yeah, right, and, hang up. But the first call that I made was to my now 97-year-old grandfather.
Wow.
And so that was really meaningful for me, a World War II veteran. He's lived an amazing life, and a lot of the lessons that I write about in this book, he's learned and forgotten about and learned again more times than I could ever even imagine. And so yeah, that was a really meaningful moment for sure.
Yeah, and one of the things that it really strikes me, because you're talking about being inside the halls of power, but you talked about the humble beginnings that your own grandfather had, and now he had a grandson in the White House, and that was very cool.
Yeah, no, definitely, and that's the American story, right? And I think right now the challenge is that as we look around the country, it feels like such a dark and divisive time in not just American politics, but really just in American culture. It seems like there's kind of a dark cloud over everything. And, I write a lot about feeling that in this book, but the title, The Darkness Has Not Overcome, is straight out of the Gospel of John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Hmm.
And so even in the midst of all this darkness, and it's a difficult time, we can hold fast to that promise. And so ultimately, I want this book to be uplifting and hopeful as well, and a reminder that God's promises, that we could take them to the bank.
Well, and that's huge. And by the way, I try to style this show on pointing things out, calling things what they are, balls and strikes, but also at, you know, trying to find the hope in it or the way out of it or the things that we can do in spite of it. And so what you're telling me is you see the same. I mean, the nation is where it is right now. We have problems. There is some societal decay. There's definitely a leadership issue right now. We have a crisis of leadership, in my opinion, in the halls of government. And, you know, there's an old saying. I actually pulled it out of a study book that I had, Experiencing God: as goes the king, so goes the country. And right now, the king, if you will, the president, the chief executive, we're struggling for leadership. So your book is filled up with the reasons why we can believe that government can do good things.
No, that's right. And everyone you hear talking about now, you hear this phrase all the time: you just got to live your truth, Phil. Yes. Or you got to tell your truth. But nobody's talking about the truth, God's truth. And I'm certainly not an authority on what God's truth is, but I wanted to write the book to give Americans a biblical foundation for how to live, work, and engage in politics in America in 2024.
Yeah, and Margaret Thatcher, she and Ronald Reagan were just amazing, but Margaret Thatcher, she was questioned by the press one time about something she was talking about. And I think the reporter said, "But madam, isn't that the same old story?" And she said, "Of course it's the same old story. The truth usually is the same old story."
Which right.
Which basically was the meaning was, you know what? Truth is unchangeable, and it's true or it's not. Well, it's all right. Listen, you've got a couple things. You sent me just a few things to think about, and one of the things that that you talk about is the first time you walked into CIA headquarters. And I'll be honest with you, I've got family members that had careers at the agency, and I have I've been inside those halls before. Tell me what your experience was. That's one that I think is important to look at.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll say you going to the White House the first time was amazing, but going in the CIA, it was totally different because, you know, you can get a White House tour, you can't get a CIA tour. Like, literally, you can't get in the building without the intelligence community blue badge that kind of lets you in the door. So that was, you know, the first time I'm walking in there, I've seen, you know, like anybody else, all the spy movies and the history of the CIA and all the things that you hear and, you know, whatever. So I was like really excited about it, and I walk in, and one of the first things that I noticed was the prominence of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion office in the CIA, because their posters were lining the hallway, and all of them talking about people's identity and all these different stuff. But as I go, you know, get ready to walk into the CIA cafeteria for the first time, which, by the way, the food is great there. I will give them that. But there's a giant handmade poster on the wall, and it says, trans lives are human lives. And so you just kind of get a sense of just how pervasive this, you know, the woke indoctrination has gotten into the bloodstream there in CIA. So it was a little disconcerting. Certainly met a lot of amazing people in CIA, and a lot of them doing incredible work and prioritizing the safety and security of the United States and our people. But there's a lot of people there who are more interested in pushing a political and social ideology than they are in protecting the country. And that's what I hope President Trump has an opportunity to go back and that we would have a chance to root some of that out and really clean it out of there.
Well, so speaking of Trump, right now we're watching the incredible amount. I mean, I've said on the show before several times, there's nobody, in my opinion, who would have either A, the resources, or B, the personal sense of will to be able to resist the amount of attacks he's been under, and it's really amazing to watch. I think he almost has to win not just for himself, which I think is important, but for the rest of us. I mean, I think he has to win for the rest of us because it's not just about politics; it's about what they're allowed to do to people if they don't like you or like your agenda, and if they get away with it, him, they can get away with it, anybody.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, one of the things he often says in his speeches and posts on social media, he'll talk about how they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in the way. And there's actually a lot of truth to that. He represents an existential threat to the established order, the elite control over the U.S. government, the swamp, everything you hear about there in D.C. He's an existential threat to that, and they're throwing the kitchen sink at him to try to keep him from getting back in office. You know, the good news is, well, I say good news, the reality is Joe Biden has run the country into the ground to the point that I think a lot of people are waking up.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it in the polling data, in the unprecedented support that President Trump is getting from minority communities, Hispanics, African-Americans, young voters are waking up to this, especially young males are waking up to this. And so I really think, you know, if the election were today, he would win. And so we're going to have a real shot in November to wrest back control of our country.
Well, all right, brother, last question for you. People always wonder when they see a public figure, in this case, Trump is very public. He's probably one of the most widely known people in the world. But when they see a person who's got this public persona, they wonder what's the person like behind closed doors. So give us a quick, like we got about 2 minutes left here, behind closed doors in a meeting or just being one-on-one or personable, what's he like? What's Trump like in the real sense?
Well, the reality is there is no private Trump. What you see is what you get. The stuff he's railing about in public is the same stuff he rails about in private. I found him to be a really great boss, and we got along great while I was in there. I will say you can't be in a room with the guy and not end up liking him, even if you are coming in there with a preconceived idea of, you know, you're not going to like him. You just can't help but like him once you get in the room with him. And there are so many stories that I could point to with that. One that I tell in the book is when the Congressional Black Caucus, a group of black Democrats, came to meet with him early in the White House. And I watched that transformation over the course of about an hour meeting where they came in loaded for bear. And they ended up liking him to the point that one of them said privately, "I don't agree with everything you say, but I think you've got the ability to be a special president, one of the best presidents that we've ever had." Wow. And then they walk out the door and do a press conference, and somebody asks them, do they still think that President Trump is racist? And they refuse to say that he wasn't racist. So you got a kind of this duplicitous nature of Washington, D.C. politics. But yeah. But that gives you a sense of just how charming he can be in one-on-one meetings. I saw it with congressional leaders. I saw it with world leaders. So, yeah, if you ever get that experience, it's really unforgettable.
Well, and what do they feed Barron Trump? Because he's like 6'6" now.
It really is wild. Every time I see a new picture of him, he's another inch taller. It's unbelievable.
Well, listen, Cliff Sims, the brand new book is called The Darkness Has Not Overcome, Lessons on Faith and Politics from Inside the Halls of Power. And I twisted your arm, so to speak, off the air, that if you'll send in an autographed copy, we'll do a giveaway here on the show, all right?
Yeah, we're going to make it happen. Thank you so much for having me on, Phil, and thank you for what you do with Bright Side Radio. It means a lot to our state, and so keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Cliff Sims, former special assistant to President Trump and author of the brand new book, The Darkness Has Not Overcome. You need to check that one out. It's out right now, available everywhere. And by the way, he did not pay me for that endorsement. Let's take a break, man. I ran long. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'll get a few text messages and see what we can get done the rest of this hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.